Moncrief
on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon.
There was a story we didn't get to last week, and this is about what you were telling me your retirement plan is that you're going to set up a massive snail farm.
Actually, there's a couple of people doing it in the country, or several people now. I would be loath to say it's a handful, but there are people actually growing snails. And this particular case came across our radar because it was a decision by Kildare County Council to refuse a planning application from two, I think, people, I don't know whether they were from Lucan or somewhere in Dublin, but they were actually building a house and putting up a snail farm. And one of the reasons the Kildare County Council actually refused them permission was because they were saying there were too many dubs coming out to Kildare to build houses. But what they actually, according to the neighbours, were very concerned about the snail's smell and how attractive they might be to rodents. And there was utter disbelief at the claim that the snail farming could yield an income, a net income of 18,000 per acre. Now, 18,000 per acre is a fine wad of money. And so I checked it out, and lo and behold, yes, that is absolutely the industry standard. Now, that's if you're growing the snail from the very kind of very early stages, like if you're producing whatever, I don't know what it's called, larva or whatever, that or larva, wasn't that the word?
Yeah.
Whatever. But for the vast, most people doing the job in Ireland, what they're doing is they're buying the snails at a certain size and then they're feeding them on for about 4 months. So they get meal. You have to keep them in a very kind of moist environment. You make sure they don't dry out because that's not good for them. The meal actually is reinforced with extra calcium because of the shells. The shells need to be a certain thickness. And they're harvested in September. And they're literally kind of get stuck onto planks of wood and you harvest them with, you know, like literally, you know, a scraper and scrape them all off onto it. But actually, in terms of a retirement project, 18,000 per acre from the very beginning stage. But I mean, I presume it's only maybe half of that if you're talking about growing them for 4 months. But still, 9,000 maybe a year out of 4 months' work getting these snails ready for market doesn't seem like too bad.
It doesn't sound very labour intensive either. They just do what they do.
No, and I don't believe there's a smell. And certainly we're looking here at rodent control as well. And they don't come up as being a species that's really impacted by that. But anyway, that's the situation.
Once you've grown all your snails, who buys them?
The French buy them or the Italians buy them. There's a fine market for them. And you'd house about 1 million snails on an acre of ground. So it's a fair amount of harvesting. Now, it's no slouching job. There's a lot of work involved. But anyway, there's a complete export market and what we produce are being exported abroad.
Are they exported live?
Do you know that? I wouldn't think so. No. Well, I don't know. Would they have to be exported chilled anyway?
Yeah.
I don't think because how would they feed?
Well, a snail is a pretty chilled creature anyway.
It is,
so
isn't it? Yeah.
You don't have to add to that.
But anyway, it's there was utter disbelief that they could actually earn that kind of income, but they are the standard incomes that can be read. Or that is 18,000 if you're starting from scratch for an acre.
God.
And that's about 1 million snails.
Okay.
Now, there's a fair lot of collecting in 1 million snails, so don't underestimate the job.
Yeah. And already.
Yeah, especially if you've bad back.
I started off a snail farm. It's very slow to take off. We've been getting loads of that. And actually, I don't know if a snail has any. Are there any creatures that prey on snails? Would rats prey on snails?
Oh, I'd say so. Well, I don't know. I don't know about, but birds
would
certainly.
Well,
a rat will eat anything that's going. Yeah, and actually, there's a new camp. Well, it's you know, this is the time of the year when rats start to get very close to their human equivalents.
A bit too close.
Yeah. Because they're coming in because of heat and because, you know, a farmyard can literally, you know, resemble an all you can eat buffet in the middle of the winter because you've got all this, meal around the place and, there's corn and there's ears of, grain still on it and everything. So actually during the winter, rodents come closer to the house and there's a new campaign. It's a campaign for responsible rodent-site use. And Birdwatch Ireland are involved with this, because if you leave bait for rats down and you don't do it correctly, it can really be a risk to the little bird population and, you know, the small bird population. And that's the one thing you don't want. So basically what they're saying is... make sure that, you know, when you identify an area that has a load of rats in it, I know it sounds awful,
yeah,
but the last thing you do is you don't clear it until you've actually got your regime of putting down the bait and making sure you get rid of them. So you just note what you have to do. Like, do you need to get rid of the weeds? Do you need to clean up the rubbish? You don't make it comfortable and easy for them to live there. So get that plan organised and then start putting down your bait.
And is the bait poison, or is it more efficient if you're going to kill them? And I assume that's what we're talking about,
yeah,
to put traps down or poison down.
No, it's bait, and it's the simplest way to deal with it. You just make sure that you record where the quantity of bait that you've used, that you know exactly where you've put it. You want to check it every day. You want to check around, there may be up to 100 metres around the area, to if there's any dead bodies around the place, because you don't need predator birds or other birds coming down and eating the rats and getting contaminated, by secondary source with the rat bait. So, keep an eye on it. Get rid of whatever is left over, whatever bait is left over. Don't leave it around the place, and make sure it's not left in open areas. Like, you can see now in most office blocks now, there's bait boxes all around car parks, and they're enclosed spaces. So you need to make sure that the stuff isn't out there being exposed to the birds in particular.
Yeah.
And as I said, Birdwatch Ireland are particularly involved in this. So I mean, Chagas and Birdwatch Ireland have a list of the kind of things that you need to be doing, but look, it's a fact of life, and it's not a good idea to have a load of rats running around the place, and it's a job that has to be done every winter to make sure that everything is secure.
On a lighter note,
yes,
there's new breeds of cattle are going to be named.
That's right. Well, no, they've arrived in the country. The department has a the way most people don't know their grandparents or their great grandparents hardly, but by God, we can chase back like lineage of cattle here like nobody's business. But there's an animal identification movement system which the Department of Agriculture has, and we've noticed three new breeds of cattle on it. Now listen to these for names. There's the blended milking shorthorn, which we presume is what the blended is, I don't know, but the milking shorthorn sounds as if it's a dairy cow.
Yeah.
But we always also have the Puster Taylor Spritzen. Now that sounds like a bursist. But the Puster Taylor Spritzen. So I don't know, does that sound like a German or an Austrian animal? And then we have the Verbertard Rodbunt Velsieve. Now, I honest to God, it's VLEESVEE. So there are three breeds of cattle that we didn't ever have there before. And we in the journal would be particularly interested in having a look at them. And
yeah,
if their owners are listening, or anybody who knows who owns these blended milking shorthorn, Puster Taylor Spitzen, or the Verbertard Rupon, whatever else.
Now, I assume these have come from other countries.
They've come from other countries. And it's got the whole list of, all the different breeds. And it would actually amaze you when you see the number of breeds that are in the country. But as I said, these are three unusual ones. 419-9521. We'd love to know what they look like and who's bought them in and what they're hoping to do with them.
Oh, I started a snail farm, but the sales were sluggish. Oh, God, saves, isn't it? Right,
it's a movies and booze.
Yes, it's mating season for sheep.
Absolutely. And they've got going, and people might be wondering what all the yellow bums out there are at the moment. and that's on the sheep population. And tell you why the yellow bums are there is because basically there's a piece of like a soap bar on the chest of the ram, and when he mounts the yoe, he leaves the mark of the colour of the bar that's on his, like the equivalent of the soap bar. And as the cycles go through, that colour will be changed, so you'll know if yoes are coming back into, are cycling back again, which means that they haven't gone in lamb.
Mm.
So if you've got a yellow mark and then you have a red mark a couple of weeks later, you're looking at the bio and saying, well, did you do your business?
Yes.
Because she's back again or whatever. So it's a way of telling farmers. It's very simple and but very very effective of letting people know whether the sheep have gone in lamb or not.
Right. Okay.
So anyway, the mid season flock is reaching the tail end of that, and whereas the mountainous sheep are only all going in lamb.
It's a pun fest. So romance is in the air. Mairead, thanks a million for coming into us. Mairead Lavery there from the Farmers Journal. Back in a couple of minutes.